You're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video game, gadget, and gear related on DVDverdict.com. On this episode, Kevin Woolridge didn't ask for this. John Mercer has seen the future. And Steve Power dies a lot. Repeatedly. Good evening, we're back. This is, of course, Blast Processing, the official podcast of what used to be PixelVerdict.com, now DVDVerdict.com. You know, video games, cell phones, Steve Jobs, all that fun jazz. It's been a while. We kind of took the summer off because, you know, we were told that it's more healthy to get outside and get some sunlight, get a tan, you know, go to a beach, stare at beautiful women, all those sort of things that we can't do while we're inside playing video games. So it's been, I don't know, how many months has it been, John?
I can't remember. I wasn't even on the 100th episode.
John wasn't even on the 100th episode.
I've never been here before. I don't even know where this is.
This is Kev. Kev has never been here before. Kev is actually new to the to our podcast. He is another local. We're also trying something a little new here. We've mixed things up a little bit.
We're drinking while we're podcasting.
That's not new. That is completely old school, but no, we are recording pseudo live from a top secret location that isn't actually a studio,
and it's not Steve's basement either.
It isn't Steve's basement.
Woo!
This is kind of like the DC reboot of Blast Processing.
This is DC Volume 2.
You guys
this
are wearing spandex new costumes, and
no,
I'm like
we're not.
New characters.
There introduced. Is no spandex. He lies. Brief introductions. My name is Steve. I am your host. This is John. He is also your host.
The only man to ever beat Mike Tyson in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Everyone else lied.
And I'm Mr. Dress-Up.
No, he's not Mr. Dress-Up. This is Kevin. Kevin is also your host.
Yes. Let's do this thing.
Let's do this like Judas.
We'll kick it off the way we always kick it off. You know, we love to rap about what we've been playing lately. It's been 13 and a half months or something, or 371 and a half days.
We haven't broadcast since the N64 launch.
Yeah, we go live now to Tokyo Space World 1996. No, John, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a little tiny indie game. It was released last week. You people probably haven't heard of it. A little title from a small garage developer called id Software. Little game they like to call Rage. Yeah, I've been doing a bit of the Rage lately.
Sounds like a drug.
Well, the game is that addictive and that good, it pretty well should be a drug. Yeah, for those of you who don't speak sarcasm or irony or humor.
Nintendo fans.
Yeah, Nintendo fans, even though what I said probably wasn't all that funny. Rage is the news release from id Software, the game makers of such classic titles and single-syllable games like Doom, Quake.
Quake could be two syllables. Quake.
So could Doom.
Did they do Hexen?
No.
No.
They also did Wolfenstein, but that's more than one syllable.
Way to break the banner. They are not a monosyllabic game company after all.
But, Rage is pretty goddamn amazing, actually. You know, it's going to draw a lot of unfair comparisons to games like, such as Fallout 3 or Borderlands, when it's similar to them in some ways, but in other ways completely different. Rage kind of does everything that Fallout 3 and Borderlands did well, it also does well. But areas that they faltered in, it succeeds.
I've been I've been playing a little bit of it myself, and
hey, this is my review.
Okay, fine. Would you think it's almost been misrepresented a little bit?
I do, very much so, actually. Everyone seems to have, you know, you get these industry buzzwords come out like vast open world, right? Even though Rage looks like it's an open world game, but it's really not. And you see, like, things like RPG elements. Rage has something akin to RPG elements, but then again, not. Like, Rage doesn't really have loot drops like Borderlands had. There's really only a handful of weapons in it, but you can do modifications on them. You can, kind of like in Bioshock, how you could, get electrified shotgun shells and everything. Rage, you can pick up junk and put this stuff together. And neither Borderlands nor Fallout 3 had the glaive from Krull.
This is true.
And that makes the game just better than them.
It does. It totally does. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. I'm going to go a little bit off topic now while still being on topic.
How is that possible? He's using the power of his mind.
The, I really should have prepared for this better. Rage has got the character animation and everything in it is so smooth. And just the way the sound design and the animation comes together so beautifully. Every weapon, when you hit someone, it's just, you feel it like a punch in the ribs. And you know, all these little cool effects. It doesn't really use like ragdoll physics, like the, what was the big ragdoll engine? Havoc?
Havoc, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't use anything like Havoc. In Rage, when you hit someone, depending on where it is, it almost like it sets off a scripted event that they built for it. Like you'll hit a guy in the leg and he'll appropriately
stumble and fall.
Or if you throw the wing stick or the glaive from Krull, the Krull star, you throw the Krull star at them and hit a direct hit while they're running at you, you'll actually take their head off and they'll actually keep running for a couple of steps until, you know, the body realizes that it doesn't have a head anymore and dies.
So that's definitely not some stiff-ass animation.
No.
That's some buttery smooth. Well done.
What makes it even more buttery smooth is using their new proprietary mega texture technology. Is this the first time they've used the mega texture?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought I heard somewhere that they'd used it in, what was the last Quake game called?
Quake 4 or Enemy Territories Quake Wars?
Quake Wars. They might have used something akin to it there, but this new mega texture, basically, the game, the entire game has one massive, super high resolution texture on it. But where it's only using one, this frees up some RAM space, and it has used that to keep the game running at an incredibly slick 60 frames per second, locked in from start to finish.
When I fired it up for the first time, what really blew me away was, you know, you get that whole Fallout 3 walking out of the vault thing, where you get that giant bloom of sunlight, and then when the sunlight fades, you're looking at something that almost looks like a CG quality movie. And you start panning the analog stick around, and you realize, wait a minute, this is like...
This isn't a CG movie.
This is in-game.
Yeah.
It was very pretty.
Yeah, I don't think, outside of the opening cinematic, a little short intro movie, I don't think anything in the game uses any pre-rendered graphics. It's pretty much all beautiful in-game graphics. And, I mean, let's just be frank here. Rage is probably the single prettiest video game I have ever seen.
In terms of console games, I definitely can't think of anything else that immediately wowed me. And I find the more time you spend with it, you start to see some of the shortcuts, you start to see how they achieved what they did achieve, you start to see how they did the 60 frames per second.
But man, like, I'm always going to type of guy, you know, I'm a bit of a movie nut, so here I am, you know, preaching to the choir. I'm a bit of a movie nerd. I love looking at like special features and seeing how the guys pulled off that little bit of magic.
Yeah.
And that kind of, seeing those little shortcomings and little facial warts like that, just make me appreciate what they had to do to keep the game running that smoothly.
What blew me away about it was, yeah, you look at it, and okay, they're not really using a lighting and shadowing engine. Like, all the lighting and shading on all the characters, all the textures and stuff, are painted onto the textures.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
But when you're playing, it doesn't make a lick of difference.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It still looks absolutely fantastic. Like, it's still a really, you know, artistically and, like, from a design standpoint, the game is still drop-dead gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the darks were really great. Like, when I was playing and I was going into these little shadowed areas, like, it was tremendously dark.
Yeah.
And I felt like I wanted to pull a Minecraft and throw some torches up just so I could see where I was going, you know. It was
Watch
great.
Out for creepers!
Yeah, exactly.
But the, what way to ruin. You know, there's going to be some Sally Sadness pies out there who are going to, you know, complain about little things. Oh, it's this great big open world, but it doesn't have a day-night cycle. Who gives a shit?
Mm.
It doesn't need one.
No, it doesn't need one. And Rage is a...
It's not Assassin's Creed. It's not Grand Theft Auto 4.
It's a first-person shooter. You've never won the day and night cycle in one before, you know?
Really?
Yeah. And it's like... but also, you know, it kind of paints this illusion of this vast world to explore. But really, it's a nice, tight, linear game. Yes, there's a ton of stuff you can do on the sides, right? It's a straight path, but it's not narrow at all.
No.
You know, there's a ton of stuff you can do with it. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's your beginning point, and there's your end point. You know, you got to walk that straight line to get to it.
I mean, you get to walk it or ride it in sweet-ass Doom buggies with machine guns.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it basically Rage, the cars in Rage are the closest thing we're going to get to a Mad Max sequel.
You never know. I hold out hope that this Fury Road will come together eventually.
Well, no, it's a pretty goddamn awesome game. You know, remote-controlled cars with bombs on them. The best idea a 12-year-old ever had.
That was another thing I really liked. I really dug Id's got their whole sense of humor really plastered all over the game.
Tony's planted firmly.
Firmly in cheek. You know, like, the story takes itself deadly seriously, which is something they always did. You know, it's always been a serious story. The characters themselves are not in on the joke, you know. But then you see things like when someone sends you a multiplayer invite, it shows up and says, wouldn't you rather be playing Rage instead of, you know, so-and-so has invited you to join a game. You know,
it's not like how they used to berate you for trying to turn off Doom.
Yeah, exactly, you know. Like,
were you afraid of the dirt?
Yeah.
That's something that, like I was talking about the other day, how it's kind of akin to Beyond Good and Evil for me. Like, it feels like a next-generation Beyond Good and Evil that's just a little bit more serious, you know, in a post-apocalyptic setting. That same kind of sense of humor.
Yeah,
which
for
I thought
sure.
Was, and just great design as well, you know, great character.
Little bits, man, like you're walking around this blood-soaked kill room in a dilapidated hotel, and you go up and see a door that looks like you can open. And you open it up, and you walk into it, and you've basically walked into Wolfenstein 3D.
you found the room.
The crappy 1992 PC textures.
Was it even 92? Yeah, it probably was 92. Yeah.
And you look down there, and there's a chalice that you... You know, you can pick up the
wolf goblet.
The wolf goblet. And this is some junk that you could sell for cash.
I also thought it was kind of cool that they had a Fallout Vault Boy bobblehead.
That's very
there
cool.
Too.
That's
apparently
very
there's
cool,
Easter
yeah.
eggs to everything. Like,
somewhere, a Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I heard that today, yeah.
Which is also really funny because the character John Goodman voices, and that's another point, it's got John Goodman in it.
It does.
You know, so the voice acting is awesome.
It's basically a who's who of
yeah.
cheap 90s anime voices, you know, like Steve Bloom and Michael McConaughey.
Oh, there's a McConaughey?
Yeah, they're all in there.
There's a McConaughey listening?
Yeah.
But, you know, John Goodman's character almost looks like Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad.
He kind of does, yeah.
Well, this guy's wearing pants. But yeah, no, I've been playing Rage, and guess what? You should be playing it too. So,
wouldn't you rather be playing Rage?
Yeah, wait till this podcast is over. Don't turn us off. You know, we need the ratings. Once you're finished listening to the podcast, go out and buy Rage. Right now.
We need the hits on iTunes.
Yeah. Them iTunes hits.
How about you, Kev? What you been playing?
Well, I would be playing Minecraft, but my graphics card is busted. And my PC can't handle it. Which is bizarre, because graphically the game doesn't look like something that should, you know, need a lot of processing power, but it does.
It looks
crazy.
Like it should run on an N64. Just
it totally does.
It's
but,
the second N64 version.
You know,
this
dude, the N64 can't handle those pictures.
Where it creates the world as you're playing, and I guess it requires that kind of power, right?
The N64 can't handle holding a door open.
What have I been playing? I'm gonna talk about it. I've been playing a game on my HTC Desire. Called
what's that? It's a phone. That console?
It's a phone.
It's a phone.
Yes.
You play games on phones.
You
now?
Do. You do indeed. It's called Chronicles of Enoshia 3. So it's the third in a series, Children of Carnia, and it's kind of a SNES
Chronicles
JRPG,
of Carnia.
Basically.
I don't know what I think when I hear that name. My mind just kind of goes blank right around the three part.
You know, I gotta say, you know,
that's what they want you to do. Chronicles of Herp Dirt.
I just want wanted something fun that I could go back to on my phone, right? Instead of just some sort of fun puzzle game or something like that. And in fact, the art design is really good, and I was pleasantly surprised by the music. The music is really great, and it's not a bad game. It's just a classic kind of SNES kind of top-down JRPG, like, you know, like Secret of Mana, one of these kind of games. It's a bit of fun, and it's free as well, you know, Android.
The price is definitely right.
The price is right, but I did start playing Deus Ex.
Human Revolution?
Human Revolution.
Hey!
Yeah, which is great.
You didn't ask for this.
Nope. I'm not far into it. I'm just past the first kind of official mission. And like we were talking earlier about it, this is not really a spoiler, but you get asked in the game, before your first mission, you get asked if you want to go lethal or non-lethal, and I said, okay, I'm going to go non-lethal. And then they say, okay, what kind of weapon do you want? Trank dart or a stun gun? I said, okay, tranquilizer gun. That'd be great. And then as soon as I got in there and started getting caught and killed, you know, I grabbed a handgun off somebody and it turned into Halo 3. I just, you know, I had to do it, man. And so I killed everybody.
Yeah. Including the hostages.
Including all the hostages.
I'm not gonna leave a bloody death in there.
If you guys are out there and you're playing Deus Ex, Human Revolution, there is a time limit on the hostages. Do not fart around in the office. Go see David right away, or they will die.
Well, Adam, you spent too much time in Pritchard's office staring at his bizarre pyramid made out of CRT monitors.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. I'm really digging the game. It is so smooth, man. It is smooth as silk. You know, I'm really loving it. And I've kind of lost interest in first-person shooters, I have to say, after Halo 3. You know, I just didn't play them anymore, you know? Actually, Halo 2.
It still hurts, Popo.
I was just more into the third person, you know?
Halo 2 was 2004, Kevin.
I know. But I gotta say, I'm really digging that. And Rage. Rage and Deus Ex. I really love it. What was the first game, the first first-person shooter that you remember being able to see your feet? Looking down and seeing the feet of the
Halo
character.
Halo 2.
Was it Halo 2?
For me. Yeah. Personally, Halo 2.
Because I remember the first time I saw my feet in a first-person shooter, that was the coolest thing ever. I was like, oh my god.
Look, those are my feet!
Yeah, you can see part of your character.
I'm not just a floating gun!
Exactly, right? And I think it was from that point on that I got more interested in third-person shooters. Because I like seeing myself.
Well, I think
before
that, they didn't actually have a character model.
A lot of times, no.
Yeah.
You just were a floating camera.
Yeah, yeah.
It was always a bone of contention with me, especially when you had really, like the early ones, like the original Half-Life, say, or whatever, when you started playing with Free Look, and you'd pan your camera down,
mm-hmm.
and your camera would, like, pivot on a central axis, so you'd be basically standing, you know, horizontally in the air looking at the ground.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't even a matter of, like, your head tipping forward and seeing your feet. It was a matter of your entire body just going horizontal.
Yeah.
You know? So it was kind of like,
Now, couldn't you see your reflection in the first, like, Duke Nukem?
I think even in Doom.
Or in Doom, actually, yeah.
No, maybe not in Doom.
Maybe not in Doom. No.
Maybe I'm going too far.
But, yeah, I think you are. But I remember being able to see your reflection in a mirror, and I thought that was the coolest thing.
That was about the only cool thing about Duke Nukem 3.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, back then, it didn't take much to make us impressed.
Way to cost us the hardcore listeners.
Shake it, baby. That was pretty awesome, giving strippers money in a first-person shooter when you're, like, 16. So I guess, you know.
You didn't sound near tinny enough there, by the way.
Shake it, baby.
So that's what I've been playing. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. No Space Marine this week?
No Space Marine, yes, but I really, really want to get it and play it.
I've been playing Space Marine instead of Gears 3.
Nice. I have been playing Space Marine instead of Gears 3 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because my Gears 3 save game got corrupted. 3.5 hours into the game, so I kind of decided I didn't want to relive that football commercial over again.
He's just lying, guys. He's actually just an elitist, contrarian douche.
I totally am.
Now, I've also been playing Fairy Tale Fights.
You guys wouldn't let me put My Little Pony story in the news section. I can't even talk about fucking Fairy Tale Fights.
Oh, I first swear for the second volume of Blast Processing.
Oh, great. Now I gotta break out the Roadrunner sound effect again.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, I've been playing Fairy Tale Fights, and I also picked up 3D Dot Game Hero, which was
don't open it.
No, I played through the first dungeon.
Keep your receipt.
And I have to say, I turned into an 11-year-old playing the first Legend of Zelda. You know, for an hour. But I haven't touched it since, though.
I absolutely love... Well, that's what happened with me with 3D Dive.
That's what happened with everyone in 3D.
I put it in. I thought, this is kind of neat. Oh, ha, 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 Demon Souls reference. Awesome. And then I never put it in again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was just... It wasn't that it was a horrible game, because it wasn't. But...
It's better than Fairy Tail Fights.
Lots of things are...
And it's better than Children of Carnia.
Children of Carnia?
Yeah.
Chronic what?
Why is it whenever you say that, I think of that scene in 300 with the old fortune tellers and the naked woman.
In the Carnia.
Honor the Children of Carnia. There will be no war during the Children of Carnia.
Now, what have you been playing, Steve?
Blast of the Bow!
I am... As anyone who is a long-time follower of Blast Processing knows, I was a huge fan of Demon Souls.
The word we used was whore.
I was in Demon Souls whore. Demon Souls, I imported it early. I had one of the first reviews on the internet, which I'm still really proud of. That review got quoted in the Atlas launch trailer, which is awesome. Yay!
Demon Souls shook its ass, and he loved it.
I did.
You even gave me a copy.
I was all, shake it, baby. I spread around copies of Demon Souls like the clap.
I got the Japanese Demon Souls.
I gave John here a copy. I gave Mr. Dobbin a copy. Mm-hmm. I gave Mr. Woolridge a copy. It's almost as bad as my Mass Effect mailing, where I mailed out about 8 copies of Mass Effect to people. But
it only cost me a copy of Bayonetta. I should probably thank you for that.
You should. That was an important public service. But anyway, yeah, I'm a huge Demon Souls fan, so of course I immediately had to sink Fang into Dark Souls.
Mm.
I was supposed to review Dark Souls.
About 14 hours later, the game released me from its steely clutches.
Had you gotten through the prologue chapter?
Yes! But not through the first level. It is... Well, okay... Right off the get, you mean Demon Souls has a notorious reputation for being hard. Reviewers are out there saying that Dark Souls is even harder. Bullshit. It's no more difficult. It just requires pretty much the exact same amount of TLC that the first one did. You can't... If you're an ADD gamer, if you're one of these guys who sits down and pwning noobs on Call of Duty every night waiting for the moon to explode, no. Demon Souls, or Dark Souls, sorry, is not the game for you. Stay away from it. Just don't even bother. It's a waste of your time. So all you Xbox fanboys who finally got a copy of Dark Souls, you know, you guys didn't get Demon's Souls. I'm sorry you missed out. But for all you guys who got Dark Souls, don't buy it. Just don't. Because you're not going to like it. It's for all you guys who like the 4-hour beer commercial that is Gears of War 3, or the, you know, 4.5-hour Michael Bay commercial that is Call of Duty Black Ops. Well, Dark Souls is not for you. Dark Souls is not a game that was made for you. However...
To sound a little less douchey about that, We just really don't want you guys to go out and spend $70 when you could spend it on another game that would
I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm just trying to tell you, like, you know, Barbie Horse Racing Adventures is backwards compatible. It will work on your Xbox 360.
I'm reviewing it next week.
So, you know, take the money that you would have used on Dark Souls and buy something more on par with the skill level of your average Xbox 360 gamer. You know, leave Dark Souls to people who grew up in the NES generation.
It seems to me you can't play Dark Souls or Demon Souls like a video game.
No.
And I use the metaphor, you have to play it as if you're playing...
You have to play it like Iron Sword.
Well, maybe.
You do.
It's as if you're playing a tabletop RPG. It's like you're playing D&D. You've got to be... And a dungeon crawl adventure of D&D.
Yeah.
Where you've got to be careful, where any second you might roll a dex check and end up, you know... Falling into a spike pit and you're dead.
Yeah, because Kev is like the worst DM ever and he kills everybody.
But that's how it feels. That's how it felt when I was looking at it.
We don't play D&D. Girls could be listening to this.
We're already married. It doesn't matter.
I'm not married.
We're not married to each other, by the way. That just sounded super gay.
But no, it is kind of like, you know, it is a fair comparison. Mm-hmm. It is... You know, you open up your menu, you look at your character stats and stuff, and there's just a page of stats and numbers and symbols, and to anybody, to the uninitiated, you know, to people who don't understand the game, they're going to sit there, they're going to stare at it, and after about a minute, they're just going to...
Are you a wizard?
Derp, derp. You know, like, they're just going to blank out, their eyes are going to frost over, and they'll probably suffocate on their own spit and die. But to people who are into, you know, stat tracking and loot gathering and
all of the fun stuff that typically goes with RPGs, then Dark Souls, Demon Souls, both are right up your alley. And if you'll notice, I've been saying Demon Souls a lot alongside Dark Souls. Don't listen to any of the bullshit. It's not a spiritual successor. It's a sequel. It plays exactly like Demon Souls. It is 110% a true, proper, bona fide sequel to Demon Souls. The gameplay has evolved. There are some new little twists added to it, like the bonfires, without the Nexus Hub and stuff. The game is a little bit more bleak. It's a little bit tougher. But it's also more open-ended. It's more like, you know, Symphony of the Night or Super Metroid and how the levels are organized. But it is still, you know, exactly the same game you played. And in fact, if you're a Demon Souls veteran, you're going to have a much easier time getting the hang of Dark Souls.
The way I like to look at it, actually, to call Dark Souls a spiritual successor to Demon Souls is the same thing to call Final Fantasy II a spiritual successor to Final Fantasy.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is it. It is 110% sequel. The only reason we're not calling it Demon Souls 2 is because it's a different publisher this time, and there were certain legal finagles that From Software had to answer to get the game.
And let's not kid ourselves. Dark Souls is a better title anyway.
Dark Souls is an awesome title, and it is an awesome game. It is an absolutely fantastic, stole 10 to 12 hours of my life without even blinking. You know, and
boss fights against bosses the size of a fucking building.
Yeah, you know. Oh, there's John with another F-bomb.
Nope.
There were F-bombs galore.
Rated M for mature.
Peggy 18.
But yeah, it's, you know, it is essentially the same game you played with Demon's Souls, with some refinements, some cleaning up. Combat's a little bit more tactical this time around. There's a few more enemies who can actually parry or block your attacks. So, you know, you're not just wading through cannon fodder this time. Everything is a little more tactical, but it is a fantastic game. And now the news.
Get that toothpick out of your mouth. Probably swallow that thing.
We just started the news and already there's an F-bomb.
I'm telling you. Okay, we'll start things off. This is a little something I came across that I thought was pretty hilarious. John Carmack, founder of id Software, rocket scientist, all-around technical whiz kid.
Engineer for G.I. Joe.
Sure. Has dropped a bomb on PC users. We do not see the PC as the leading platform for games. That statement will enrage some people. I wasn't particularly enraged, John.
That was a shout out to Rage.
Yeah. But it is hard to characterize it otherwise. Both console versions will have larger audiences than the PC version. We know this is true. We do. We know it's true. A high-end PC is nearly 10 times as powerful as a console, and we could unquestionably provide a better experience if we chose that as our design point, and we were able to expend the same amount of resources on it. Nowadays, most of the quality of a game comes from the development effort put into it, not the technology it runs on. A game built with a tenth of the resources on a platform 10 times as powerful would be an inferior product in almost all cases.
Agreed.
You know, it's a sign of the times.
A yeah. statement that will enrage people. By rage.
Now, it is, you know, it is a sign of the times. PC stuff is, you know, like, I mean, with piracy as rampant as it is on the PC, and, like, just the ability to have tighter control, to know that all your players are playing with the same hardware, you know, it really is a console future. PC gaming, I mean, I don't want to wave out that flag again, you know, PC gaming is dead, blah, 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 blah. The Witcher 2 was awesome, but guess what it's coming to in January or February?
360.
Xbox 360. Yeah. You know, so, there we go, there you have it.
The only reason on my couch, my big screen TV,
my surround sound system, and my comfy couch, you know, and play The Witcher 2,
yeah.
Which I barely touched on PC because I had to be sitting at my desk with a mouse and keyboard, and I still have the surround sound, but it's not as good.
I love playing on PC, don't get me wrong, but I think from a financial point of view, how many people out there have high-end gaming PCs versus how many people have a console sitting in their living room.
Exactly.
The way I always looked at it now, you could spend $300 to $400 every 5 or 6 years and get yourself the latest video game console versus paying what? How much does a high-end gaming rig cost once you put all the...
Well, I mean, your video card alone, you know, bare minimum $200. Yeah. And that's for, like, not exactly state-of-the-art.
Yeah. You're going to spend over $1,000.
Yeah.
On a high-end gaming rig.
I mean, my rig, which is not a slouch, cost me maybe about $700.
How much does it cost for the, like, Iron Man arc reactor to power?
And this is the thing, I mean, but it's the same thing that's been trumpeted since, like, the PlayStation 2 days. Mm. It's just, it's a convergence and a transition, you know? The PC and console markets kind of converged, and then the consoles just kind of took over.
Well, it's kind of the same deal went down, man, when consoles got more powerful than arcade machines.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's
you
right.
know, arcades
that's
right. died.
Arcades yeah. died. And it wasn't pretty.
No, because the experience was just so much more fulfilling at home on a console. And now, I mean, you're getting games, I mean, not
I could smoke weed and play Street Fighter at home.
But it's just...
You don't condone drug use.
It's a situation where, you know, you're in a situation where what's coming out on the console is easily the equivalent of what's on a PC outside of some bells and whistles that you need a $1,000 rig to run.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, everybody's complaining about Battlefield 3 now, which we'll get to in a bit, but, you know, yeah, okay, it doesn't look as nice on PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360 as it does on PC, but guess what? It's the same experience.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's not really any different. You're well, playing the same game.
Rage doesn't look as nice on PS3 or Xbox 360 as it does on PC.
Apparently the PC version had all kind of texture issues, and...
Yeah, the console versions didn't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some mild texture pop in.
There you go, there it is.
Well, I mean, when you're talking about PC games, okay, PC games now, I think, is leaning more towards the casual market, right? Like Facebook games, like that kind of stuff. You know, hardcore gamers, they've already got their consoles, right? And speaking of PC games and the casual market... Okay, so Pixar, which apparently is some sort of animation studio, they do movies... Maybe?
It's the alternate spelling, though. It's like P-I-C-K-S-A-R.
Oh,
is it that Pixar?
No. I think there's an X in their name.
Okay.
Anyway, they are in talks, apparently, with Zynga, which you might know if you're ever on Facebook, to do a Farmville movie. Now, what they don't already know, and they should have done their research, is that this movie has already been made. It was called Charlotte's Web.
Really?
It already came out.
Now I gotta go rent Charlotte's Web.
I don't know how they can make... I've never played Farmville. I will never play it. Ever. Ever.
It's coming from a man who's devoted hours into Minecraft.
Yeah, well, because it's very interesting. It's fun. It's scary. But Farmville, I don't know how they can make it into a movie. It's just a Facebook game where you grow crops.
Maybe they're gonna go all witty and self-aware with it, and maybe it's gonna be about a bunch of kids... who are playing Minecraft and sending Facebook messages back and forth asking for stuff.
Maybe it's like...
Send me some sheep! Send me some wool!
How you mine fish!
How you mine fish!
Maybe it's going to be like a...
And then they actually get picked by their dying uncle to run his farm.
And they have to learn how to do it for real. And they learn something. Yeah, that's
And there's
it.
A montage in there.
There's a montage of kids farming. Those are high fives, by the way. We are writing this shit as we go.
I could see it. I mean, if they could make... Apparently, Real Steel is getting good reviews.
That's because Real Steel...
Is that based on a game, too?
Well, it's based on Rock'em Sock'em...
Robots.
It's actually based on a Harlan Ellison story.
Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Is it really?
Yes.
I thought it was based
But I'm pretty sure Harlan Ellison...
Don't go saying his name!
I'm pretty sure...
Good Lord, what are you doing saying Harlan Ellison's name? We didn't say your name, Harlan. I'm sorry. Please don't sue us.
I'm reasonably sure he sued Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Oh, okay.
Right after he finished suing James Cameron.
And Star Trek.
And anyone else who ever used the words science and fiction. Not together.
Science and or fiction. Lawyers!
I mean, if the studios can give us a good...
Seize them!
If the studios can give us a good version of Rock'em Sock'em Robots, maybe Pixar, which has never had a dud yet...
So who knows? We'll get a Farmville trailer set up, and you know the kids will be there having trouble farming. Hugh Jackman will come out and take his shirt off.
All right, kids. Here's what you need to do to farm
in Australia.
I'm a rover.
I'm a farmer. I farm. I can stretch every vowel into a word.
I got two words for you, Pixar. Six figures.
Yeah.
Right here. Right now.
I got one word for you, Pixar. Don't.
No.
In other news, also segueing from animated movies to animated other things, surprisingly to me anyway, Transformers Fall of Cybertron has been announced. The sequel to last summer's... Was it a hit?
No, it was not a hit.
Wasn't it a hit?
It might have been a hit, but it was horrible.
Okay.
I'm not talking about the movie game. I'm talking about War for Cybertron.
You know what? I have not played a Transformers game since the Transformers game on NES.
There was a Transformers game on NES.
Pretty sure there was.
Maybe that was the Commodore 64.
Yes, it was Commodore 64. Excuse me. That's the last time I played a Transformers video game.
Wow.
War for Cybertron wasn't bad.
Yes, it was.
It had its moments.
It was the kind of game that succeeded based solely on the fact that it was a Transformers game that wasn't shit.
Wasn't gold, but at least it wasn't poop. Well, Transformers Fall of Cybertron has been announced. It may feature Combaticons, Metroplex, and Cybertron Falling. Also, Grimlock!
Well, that makes it worth it to me.
Robot
dinosaurs are probably the best thing that to ever come out of Transformers.
Okay, not to take anything away from Rage, it's brilliant, but robot dinosaurs are the best thing a 12-year-old has ever invented.
Oh, yeah, totally. John Carmack, you are wrong.
Robot dinosaurs piloting F-14s.
Didn't Bill Watterson do a comic strip about that?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did, yeah. But they weren't robot dinosaurs.
They were just dinosaurs.
They were just dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Speaking of Battlefield 3, I was, but, you know, we weren't just then. Apparently, the console versions will be including high-definition textures, which can be optionally installed on either your Xbox 360 or your PlayStation 3. So, again, you know, we see a little bit more of that convergence coming into play.
Mm.
You know, and I guess a lot of people who've been playing the Battlefield 3 beta have been kind of bitching a little bit about the graphical quality and, you know, glitches and stuff like that. And I mean, guys, it's a beta. Beta typically means unfinished product. It's not a demo. It's not an advertising thing. It's a beta. They want your feedback. Your feedback is not to consist of going on joystick.com and posting the graphics are suck. You know, like, really. There's our herp derp moment of the week. But, you know, the fact that they're giving it to you, it's great. I mean, from what I heard, apparently it did something similar with Rage, at least on the PS3. But, you know, it's great, and I think it's really awesome that Xbox owners are getting a piece of it as well. You know, optional installs are always a good thing if it makes the game run better, run smoother, you know, look prettier. Hey, you know, I'm all for it.
Make the $6 million man sound when you play it.
Yeah, well, yeah, here, there we go.
I think it's cool, and if you got the space, why not do it, you know?
Yeah.
It's a game you just bought. I mean, you're going to stop playing it maybe at some point. So you uninstall it, and then you free up space for whatever else you're going
to
put on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not like, you know, this game is eternally chained to your hard drive.
No, dude, you can't expect the ADD generation to sit through and install again. Remember how mad everyone got when they had to install Devil May Cry 4?
Mm.
How enraged the gaming community was? Me? I could have made a sandwich.
Speaking of enraged, Rage also had a mandatory about a 20-minute install. But no one really seemed to complain about that. Well, I mean, on Xbox you had to swap discs.
There was pretty bitching music playing during that thing, man. It wasn't just Solid Snake smoking.
But didn't we used to wait 10 minutes for Airborne Ranger to load so we could just play the game every time we wanted to play the game?
Have you ever heard a Commodore 64 CD drive? Or a floppy drive, I should say. Have you ever heard the noise that comes out of that unholy contraption?
You didn't hear the game, that's for sure. Man, like,
Diablo took me an hour to install.
Jeez, man. Command & Conquer was the same thing. It took forever to get these things on there. You want to play an NES game, you spend 15 minutes blowing in your system.
Well, okay, here's a game that you won't have to blow into the system to play. It just came out today, the day that we're recording the podcast anyway. And it is the Minecraft Pocket Edition, finally available on the Android Marketplace. Okay. So, my co-hosts hate Minecraft, but I'm going to talk about it for a second.
I don't hate Minecraft.
Oh, you've never even played it.
Exactly. I can't hate something I haven't
played. I think you would love it. If you played it, you would love it.
Oh, God.
Okay, we've just been served some sort of drink by someone who just walked into the room.
Gentlemen.
You're giving away the secret location. Yes, it's in a bar.
Yes, it's in a bar.
You'll never look like a waiter with all those tattoos. Looks like a woolly mammoth with a towel over his arm.
So here's to the relaunch of Blast Processing.
Here's to Mr. Dobbin, the loveliest waitress we've ever had.
Okay, moving right along.
You got that over with.
Slauncha.
Minecraft Pocket Edition. so far, Minecraft has been announced or is on every single available OS except for PlayStation 3.
It's coming.
It's on PS3. It's on. It's coming for Xbox. It's out for you know, the iPhone, you know, Xperia Play, and it's not yet out for PS3. Once it gets there, I'm going to be all over that. The demo, it's $6.99 for the full version, and so far, I've only played the demo, but there's not a whole lot you can do with it. It's kind of like being in peaceful mode and just building stuff with a mod installed, because you can use all the blocks are there and you don't have to find anything. That's just the demo. I'm hoping that the full version is going to be different. There is multiplayer support, which is really great, because in multiplayer, that's where the fun is.
There's fun in Minecraft?
There is fun in Minecraft. Okay. You should give it a try.
I will.
Play some multiplayer.
I will.
When I'm done playing Dark Souls.
When I blow the dust off my N64.
This one, speaking of the N64, this one's going to get me uninvited to a bunch of birthday parties. Nintendo!
Okay, here we go. Nintendo.
The big end. Here we go. Nintendo. Nintendo has only 1 month remaining to delay the release of The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword and announce a new version to coincide with the release of next year's Wii U, only to have the Wii version follow that other version by 3 months and be better.
Yeah, that's a clever allusion to what they did with Twilight
the
Princess.
The debacle that was Twilight Princess.
We still haven't forgiven you, Nintendo. If you'll notice, there's a lot of Nintendo hatred. It's justified, okay?
I love Nintendo. I don't own one. I don't own a Wii. I love the Nintendo of my childhood. And I can't wait to play these new games, these Zelda games and everything, when they come out on PS3 eventually.
Nintendo, we want to play your product. We just don't want to buy your shitty system to play it.
And I love Zelda games. I love them so much, and I just wish I could play them on my PlayStation.
You know, I'm always the one to go around and tell everyone, nostalgia's a drug, man. You can't give into it, man. And yet I'm always the guy, you know, I bought new Super Mario Brothers for the Wii.
Yeah, so did I. I bought it for the DS.
Yeah, and it's just, I feel like I'm enabling them.
You were. You're an enabler. It's what you do.
It's like, I really want...
Just do what I do, John. Ignore them. Or buy it and say it's for my wife.
I really want somebody to drag Nintendo kicking and screaming into the 21st century. You know, I had a taste of what Zelda could be with a fully orchestrated score and voice acting. It was called Darksiders, and it was amazing.
Oh, fabulous.
Just a little point of reference. Skyward Sword does have an orchestrated soundtrack.
Oh, does it?
Nice.
Now, Citizen Kane claps. Kevin, it's a shot. You're supposed to drink it all at once.
Back in PC land, okay.
PC land!
Stalker, or S-T-A-L-K-E-R.
What does it stand for? Could you tell me?
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Probably something in Russian. I think it's a Russian game.
It sounds like a backwards record.
So, okay.
Oh my god, they weren't actually worshipping the devil. They were all communists.
So Stalker 2, when it releases, will have, get ready for this, always on DRM. What always on means is that you'll have an internet connection that's always active. What DRM means is digital rights management, which, you know, basically means you got to connect to one of their servers and then play the game.
As Dr. Seuss would say, you cannot play it on a plane. You cannot play it on a train.
So unless you have an internet connection, you cannot play the game.
You cannot play the game.
That is bullshit.
See, okay.
No, what's bullshit, Kevin, is in the year 2011 not having an internet connection.
Okay, Ubisoft
tried
it about a year ago or so or more and got raked over the coals for it.
They did.
Every time anyone does anything with DRM, man, they get eaten.
Anytime anybody has an always-on internet connection to play a game, they get eaten. Except for Valve. Steam is like the biggest DRM scheme in existence. But no one says a word.
I've never done anything with Steam.
That's because they give you great sales.
They give you great sales, and because it's Valve. I don't understand. Like, okay.
Big Brother is watching with the Valve in his eye.
Okay, like, oh, PC gamers all go apeshit over Assassin's Creed Brotherhood needing to have always-on internet connection to play, or Mass Effect 2, Or, okay, of course, now we have STALKER2. But...
STA...
But when you download something from Steam, don't you have to log into your Steam account to play it? Yes. I'm pretty sure you do. Half-Life 2, when it was released, you had to have a logged-in Steam account.
Scott Penny, if you're listening to this podcast, and I know you are because you promised me you would, and if you're not, I'm going to kill you. If you're listening to this podcast, man, I know you've got a Steam account. Hook us up with a Facebook page. Let us know if we're right or wrong. That's right, everyone. We've got a Facebook page. You should like us.
Ding! Doesn't the PlayStation Network, PlayStation Plus, also have a similar thing? Where if you...
Yes.
It's related anyway. It's not necessarily DRM, but if your account...
DRM.
Yeah, if your account runs out, if you're not paying your subscription fee...
You can't play Sonic 2 anymore.
You can't play the games that you downloaded through that system. I mean, that's ridiculous. If you buy the game, you should own the game.
But now, okay, in the case of the PSN and mm-hmm. PlayStation Plus, it has more to do with the free games that people got for being, you know, for the Welcome Back program.
Right.
So, you know, you had your 30 days free.
Right.
You got free games.
Mm-hmm.
Those, I can... You didn't buy them.
Yeah, that's true.
No funds were exchanged.
Now, I wasn't a PlayStation Plus subscriber, but I got my 4 free games.
Yeah.
No, they gave you that anyway, but they also gave you 30 days of PlayStation Plus.
Right.
Yeah, everybody was basically flagged as a PS Plus member.
Right.
But, however, I mean, you know, you are right in another regard. Like, I don't know how it works if your account lapses. Do you still have access to what you paid for? I assume you would.
Yeah.
But...
Any of our listeners out there who have PlayStation Plus accounts?
Any fools who have PlayStation Plus
come to our Facebook page to pay us tribute.
And so we can make fun of you some more.
Okay, in other news...
We don't actually make fun. We don't actually make fun of our listeners.
No, we love our listeners. I love our listeners. Okay, so in other news. Blu-ray and DVD extended copies of Green Lantern will include a new character skin for the upcoming Batman Arkham City video game, which features Batman... and some sort of city. It's not Arkham City, though. That doesn't make any sense to me. Arkham Asylum is in Gotham City. How can they call it Arkham City?
It's in the Narrows, Rachel.
Cops don't go to the Narrows.
Okay, so the new character skin is Batman as a member of the Sinestro Corps.
Corps.
And this is an exclusive to Best Buy. I think this is absolutely ridiculous.
What's a Sinestro Corps?
So I've read some Green Lantern.
Here we go.
I don't know a whole lot about Green Lantern, but...
Everybody, put on your spectacles.
That's right. get your rings up. So you got the Green Lantern Corps, but there are other Lantern Corps, right? And they all represent different things. The Sinestro Corps was a bunch of, like, badass guys. It was created by Sinestro, right? Who's, like, the baddest of the bad in Green Lantern. And apparently they tried to recruit Batman at some point in the comic book. So there is a precedent for this.
Like Batman said, why are you trying to recruit me?
Or Batman said, what? That's stupid. I'm just going to keep being Batman. My costume is cooler.
Batman's like, the planet what now?
Yeah.
So space what?
I don't understand
Batman doesn't speak space talk. He speaks punch.
I don't understand why you'd want that skin. For one thing. The whole thing about a Green Lantern costume is the symbols on your chest, right?
Okay.
It's a third person game. How often are you going to see the Sinestro Corps logo?
All you're going to see is a billowing cape.
Exactly.
Oh, and that's another thing. If you look at the picture, the Sinestro Corps costume is all black and yellow, isn't it?
Yeah.
And except Batman's cape is still black. His cowl still looks the same. The bat ears.
He doesn't have a domino mask?
No, he doesn't have a domino mask.
Oh, well, forget it. That's just
I mean, you're not going to be able to see the costume, doesn't he?
He's not purple. He doesn't have a little evil Errol Flynn mustache.
It's just a way of getting people to buy what I'm told is a subpar movie, on Blu-ray.
To get a Batman skin.
Yeah.
I'm wondering why they didn't... I believe they've got a Batman animated feature coming out the same day as Batman Arkham City, that one year one.
Year one, yeah.
I'm wondering why they didn't include a downloadable year one costume.
There's probably a downloadable year one costume included with year one.
I'll be buying year one.
That would be fantastic, yeah. There's a new Batman animated show coming out as well.
That looks like...
Alfred has a gun.
Yeah.
There's a ninja. And Batman's not fighting the ninja. Like, if you watch the Batman animated series from the 90s, that episode where he fights the ninja, awesome. Mwah. Batman punches a ninja.
Batman is a ninja.
He was in two episodes.
Oh, he was in two? That's right, it's the second one. He falls in a volcano. Batman fight punches a ninja over a volcano.
Okay, well, you know, now that Big Bang moment is over.
I'm wearing a Flash t-shirt right now.
Oh, God. If anybody says Bazinga, I'm leaving.
I'm leaving, I'm going upstairs, I'm beating John's wife to death with a DVD copy of The Big Bang. There we go. In other news, Sony brings rare PS2 stuff to the PSN store.
Yay.
For your enjoyment. Of course, if you had a backwards compatible PS3, you could enjoy these from a flea market or something. Titles include Maximo, why do you make me make this joke? I love Maximo. Maximo, Ghost to Glory, Ring of Red, The Life and Times of the Xbox 360, Grim Grimoire and the Chamber of Lawsuits, Odin Sphere, and God Hand. $10 each, trophies and remastering not included.
You didn't make fun of Odin Sphere or God Hand.
This was God Hand.
God Hand makes fun of itself.
You embarrass yourself!
You know, I only played Maximo back in the day out of all of those games.
Odin Sphere was pretty awesome.
Odin Sphere was pretty awesome.
But I'm very excited that this is opening the gates for other PS2 games. Because now that I have a more recent generation PS3, you know, there are some PS2 games that I'd really like to see on the PSN.
Also, another reason this excites me, I'm not exactly what you call the strongest proponent of the video game collector's market. I don't think there's any reason out there that people, gamers, should have to go online and spend, you know, $200 for a copy of something.
$1,000 for a Nintendo World Championship.
Yeah.
I think right now, PS2 stuff, I don't think there's anything really up in the hundreds.
No. But, I mean, you're still getting some pretty crazy prices on stuff.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, I kind of agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, but if some maniac wants to give me $200 for my Dot Hat collection, I'm cool with it.
Didn't they already do that?
Yeah.
But, no, I've never enjoyed the idea. I've worked at a couple game stores, you know, one large chain that we won't mention here, and another smaller large chain that we won't mention here. it never really sat well with me when you'd have guys come in and, you know, you'd have somebody come in and trade in a bunch of their old Super Nintendo games. You look there's some pretty cool stuff there, you know. Donkey Kong Country was there, Chrono Trigger was there, Mega Man X was there. And it never sat well with me, somebody coming in and picking them up, and I just know that it's only going to end up in an eBay account charging three times the price we were, or it's ending up in a glass case somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, it never sat well with me that there's people out there who legitimately wanted to play Valkyrie Profile when it was out on PS1, but couldn't have it because some guy's got three of them mounted onto his wall.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Chrono Trigger now is actually...
buy it on eBay.
How much did you pay for it?
Valkyrie Profile and the guy who I got it off of threw in a copy of Parasite Eve.
Yeah.
For $100.
That ain't too bad.
That's not too bad.
It's still, I mean, Valkyrie Profile alone usually fetches $100.
Right. Parasite is a great game, too.
I was looking at a couple of games I owned and used to own, man. I got rid of that side-scroller with the genie for the Game Boy Color. I got rid of that back in the day when I got rid of all my old Game Boy stuff. I think I gave it to somebody for $10. I go online and see it going for, you know, close to $300. I want to punch myself.
But see, the other side, there's a flip side to that coin, too, and this is the way I look at it. Like, okay, I can get $120 for a copy of Chrono Trigger for Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
I have it sitting there on my shelf for Nintendo DS for PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
I can still play the game.
That's why I'm enjoying this stuff on the PSN.
Yeah.
You know? You can get it for $10 now. It just came out.
Yeah, and it's
on PSN,
right?
There's no reason that a fan has to go out and pay more than what the original retail price of Gradius 5 was. If it'll eventually come out for PSN. You know, this is a good idea.
I agree.
You know, it's a virtual console that hopefully will work this time.
Yeah.
My problem, like the biggest problem I have, and of course I wrote the news story, so I was kind of snarky in that regard, is when the PS3 launched and the first two generations of that hardware were backwards compatible.
Yeah.
I have an extensive PlayStation 3 collection. My launch 60 gig, may it rest in peace, finally gave up the ghost about 2 weeks ago. I'm stuck with 250 or 260 PlayStation 2 games that I cannot play in high def upscaled on my television.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Whereas with my upscaling PS3, you know, I could sit down, I could play them in 720p, I could enjoy my PlayStation 2 games just like I was enjoying them on a PS2 on my old 27-inch back in the day. It was great. Whereas now, I can hook my PlayStation 2 up again, which sounds like a washing machine when I turn it on, and looks like
the inside of a washing machine
on my television.
I was going to say it looks like the inside of a washing machine, but it looks like asshole.
Yeah, or I can go the emulation route, hook my laptop up via HDMI, stick the thing in there, use a wireless controller dongle, and play that way. But either way, you know, I don't have the option to really enjoy my PlayStation 2 games anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like, by taking away the backwards compatibility, I mean, I know like they say it wasn't a big issue to everybody and it was cutting costs and blah, 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 blah. I think, to me, I'm a little bit...
Now you're making money off it.
I find it kind of disturbing. I'm a little perturbed by it because, to me, it's the same as the PlayStation 1 deal. You know, like they're running all the PlayStation 1 games through emulation.
Yeah.
Those same games all work on disc exactly the same as they do off the PlayStation Network. So I can go online and pay $10 for a copy of Final Fantasy VII, or I can take my vintage Final Fantasy VII off the shelf, stick it in my PS3, and still play it. And it's exactly the same. It's not, you know, like the machine doesn't do anything super special to it. The downloaded version isn't a new version. You know, why can't this emulation software that they're using to power these PlayStation 2 games, because I'm only assuming they're using similar technology to what they had in there to begin with, you know, like, why can't I just stick my PlayStation 2 games in there and play them?
Didn't they also get rid of the backwards compatibility on Wii's? Didn't that happen at some point? At some version of the Wii, they got rid of the...
The GameCube?
The GameCube.
I don't think the Wii they did, but I know the Wii 2, the Wii U doesn't
play
GameCube.
The Wii U, right.
Yeah, it won't play GameCube anymore. Yeah.
Worst name. I thought the Wii U was the worst name for a console ever.
Wii!
No, it's Wii U! Wii U!
No, it's just, you know, I'm a little bugged by it, and maybe it's because I've had the backwards compatible system for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got 6 years out of my launch system. I'm not complaining about the fact that it died, but I am complaining about the fact that I can't replace it with something that has the same capabilities.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That kind of bugs me. And the fact that now, okay, here we are rolling out PlayStation 2 games on PSN.
Mm-hmm.
And the selection, I mean, they talk about how rare they are and stuff like that, but let's face it, that selection sucks. There's nothing there that would justify me spending $10 on a PlayStation 2.
Yeah, well, none of those I would buy.
You know, Odin Sphere, yes, it's an awesome game, but it's niche, you know. Mm-hmm. God Hand, I'm sorry, Capcom fans, God Hand blows. That game is absolutely freaking...
Lies!
Terrible game. Horrible game.
This man owns Final Fight Streetwise.
I do, and it's a better game than God Hand.
He can't judge you.
Well, I'm more excited about the HD remix, basically.
Yes.
I mean, you got Sly Cooper.
Yep.
Collection. You've got the Ico Shadow Colossus collection.
Which is absolutely stunning.
You've got the God of War collection.
If you own a PS3 and you haven't bought that Ico Shadow of the Colossus collection, you're an idiot.
Yeah, you really need to remedy that immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It's a situation where, I mean, I'm for the HD remixes because, okay, they're asking you to spend money. They are going back to the well.
Yeah.
But you're getting something new.
Oh, yeah, and it's, in some cases, it's a game that is very hard to find, like Ico. You know,
yeah.
I never played through Ico back in the day.
By the time I got my PS2, I mean, it had already become rare.
A collector's game, yeah. And I mean, I bought it when it first came out. I was on the PS2 train right from launch, so, I mean, when Ico was released, I was waiting for it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even so, it's great to see it now when you're looking at a game that didn't even run in 480i on the original PS2. It was a game that was actually a lower resolution and then enlarged. To see it running full on in 720p or 1080i or 1080p, and to see all those art assets in high def, and you realize just how much craftsmanship went into this game. They haven't done anything new to the art assets.
Mm-hmm.
They've used the same textures, the same models, all of this stuff, but they've upsampled it and used texture filtering to give it that high def sheen. And man, it just looks stunning.
Yeah.
You know, it looks absolutely fantastic.
I played through the Beyond Good and Evil HD version this summer. And I hadn't played it originally. You know, I hadn't played the original version of it, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to find it. But I knew it was kind of this cult classic, and I downloaded it, and I had so much fun with
awesome
it.
Awesome game. Awesome game.
Fantastic game, you know. And it looked, you know, it looked half decent. It looked pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, because they can take the God of War Origins collection. They can take two PSP games
and make them look,
and make them,
you know,
look that good on your...
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, like, even I've been digging into the Splinter Cell collection, which has been getting a lot of crap in reviews and stuff. I've been loving it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been absolutely loving it. Not only did they take the best version of the games, they took the PC versions, which were the graphically superior versions, but then they did the 720p conversion on them.
Okay,
I mean,
so does that mean the Splinter Cell, the original Splinter Cell in this collection, isn't the
It's the Xbox original version.
It's the Xbox version. Okay, yeah. Well, good. That's good.
Nice. But, well, because the Xbox version and the PC version released simultaneously, yeah, and then after came the PS2.
The PSP version, I know a couple of the levels were kind of...
I would have liked to have seen a mix. I would have liked to have seen the cutscenes and stuff brought in from the PS2 GameCube versions, yeah, along with the levels from the Xbox versions. But you know what? Beggars can't be choosers, and they did a fantastic job on
that. And it also has Chaos Theory, which is still to this day.
It's still a great game. But I mean, we're talking niche. There's Splinter Cell. If you're not a Splinter Cell fan, don't bother buying this collection, because the gameplay is...
old.
It's not even that it's old, but it's very, very... It's for a very specific type of person. You know, it's the old-school Tom Clancy gameplay. It's not designed to be accessible. It's not designed for the mainstream market. It's designed for a very particular type of gamer.
Now, the 360, is that still backwards compatible? Like, the new version of the 360?
It is still, but it's only with specific games.
Right, because remember Chaos Theory was one of the games that was supported.
That does work, yeah.
But that wasn't the other
one. Actually, the first thing I did was I fired Chaos Theory into the 360 and fired the Splinter Cell Collection into the PS3 and just fired up the first scene where you start on the beach and I'd kind of switch back and forth between my HDMIs just to compare the two. And I got to say that the HD collection was pretty impressive.
Mm.
You know, it was pretty stunning. Which I guess kind of leads me to our little ambush topic before we clue up. One game from the previous generation that you would like to see get, you know, the high-def remaster treatment. We've had, you know, our Prince of Persia's, our Splinter Cells for our second tier. You know, for our mainstream stuff, we've had, you know, our Ico Shadow of Colossus. We've had our God of War 1 and 2. We've got Metal Gear Solid 2, 3, and Peace Walker coming. You know, like, it's a big deal. It's a pretty big deal. On the store, we've had Resident Evil 4, Resident Evil Code Veronica, Beyond Good and Evil. We've had, you know, like, it's been a pretty cool run so far. What would you like to see? What game or what series would you really like to see get that HD? Like, and I'm talking, you know, like, the Shadow of the Colossus Ico treatment.
I don't know if it's coming or not, because I've heard whispering about it. I was always a really, really big Zone of the Enders fan.
It's coming.
It's coming?
Zone of the Enders is coming. Zone of the Enders 1 and 2.
Okay, you want to talk about earned assets and non-stop boss fights.
Zone of the Enders 2 is still one of the most beautiful looking games on PlayStation 2.
Okay, well, if I can't have Zone of the Enders... I'm look at your game wall now. You're doing the same thing, Kevin.
Take a look at the library.
It's been a while. I'm just trying to remind myself of the previous generation, you know?
Don't embarrass yourself, John. Don't say Shinobi.
You know, I loved The Getaway.
The Getaway was a pretty fun little game.
Is The Getaway the game where you gained health by leaning against a wall and wheezing?
Yeah. That's right.
and you knew you were healed when the stains in your suit disappeared?
Yeah. I would love to see a HD version of that game.
You were Wolverine in that game.
That's an interesting choice. That's not the first thing that would have popped the ball.
Oh, it was a fantastic game. I remember having a lot of fun with it.
It was hard as balls.
It was very hard, but I mean, it's not as hard as Demon Souls.
No, it's not. Or Dark Souls. That's for damn sure. But you, John, anything?
Oh, my, this is a difficult ambush. That's why they call it an ambush topic. These things are supposed to be fun. The hell is wrong with you people?
You can't pick Steel Battalion. We're already getting a new version.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to say it. Legacy of Kain.
Oh, yes.
The Soul Reaver collection.
Soul Reaver would be Defiance. That would be fantastic. Yeah,
give me from Soul Reaver... to Defiance, the Raziel trilogy.
As long as you took the Dreamcast version of Soul Reaver, the first one.
Yeah. I never did play the Dreamcast version.
The Dreamcast version, the PC version was the PlayStation 1 version bumped up to high res.
Yeah.
The Dreamcast version, they created all new polygon characters for all polygon models for all the characters.
Took advantage of that muscular Dreamcast technology.
That Power VR chipset. You know, so, I mean, it was a considerably more... nicer looking game all around. Like, you know, when you pan the camera around Razzle, you see more detail in his face and stuff like that, you know? So, yeah, take the Dreamcast version of Soul Reaver, and then Soul Reaver 2 and Defiance from, well, it doesn't matter what system, really.
I think that's a great choice. I would love to see that in HD.
I'd love to play that again. And those games that have become a little bit harder to find.
Yeah, for sure. That's an interesting...
Soul Reaver 2 is, I think, impossible to find.
Probably. I remember Soul Reaver 2 launching the same week the Xbox and Halo launched.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting down and seeing that opening level when you first walk out into, like, the snow-strewn, like, valley. and you see these ravens take off the rails of this castle and turn into like green smoke as they fly. And I remember looking at Jeff and just saying, "Yeah, who cares about Halo? This is stunning. This is gorgeous."
Now, one of them's available on PSN because I have it. I can't
remember. Probably Soul Reaver, the first one.
I think it's the first one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly thought, John, you would have went for the Jack collection.
I've betrayed myself. And here comes a drunken Steve's wife.
What about Spyro? Would you guys like to see an HD? I feel bad for Spyro. I feel bad for Spyro. Him and Crash Bandicoot. I feel bad for those mascots. They're gone. What happened to them?
Universal bought them from Naughty Dog and destroyed them both.
Gave them to Konami.
Yeah, I still have memories of how awesome the first Crash was on the PS1.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with that.
This is better than Mario 64. Everyone made fun of me.
I haven't played a lot of Spyro, too, man.
Mario doesn't have fingerless gloves.
Hey, plumber boy.
That's all I remember when I think of Crash Bandicoot. Mm-hmm. When he's outside the Nintendo headquarters with the
get
megaphone.
Off my
that's
lawn, right. That's you right. Freak.
It was great.
All right, Steve, what about you?
I had one and I lost it.
I had the cure for cancer and I lost it.
I gotta go with. It's not the most popular game in the
Mario
world.
Mario 3, I agree completely.
No. It's not the most popular game in the world, but I'd love to see it, like, with some texture filtering applied to it, 720p, and maybe bump the frame rate to 30, at least 30 frames a second. The original Killzone.
Oh, yeah?
The original Killzone.
You know what? Do we have a Killzone 4 coming?
I'm sure we do.
Yeah, I'd love to see him do the Medal of Honor frontline treatment.
With that
for Medal of Honor.
Yeah. You know, bump it up to 720p, bump up the frame rate, you can be done
easily.
Stick it
on a collector's edition of the game.
Yeah. I mean, for its time, the only thing Killzone was really guilty of was trying to do more than the PlayStation 2 was capable of handling. You know, it was a pretty gorgeous-looking game for its time. It was gritty and stuff, sure, but, I mean, the characters all looked great. The shooting mechanics worked really well. It's just the frame rate was so damn slow.
Onimusha would be nice, too, actually, as a series.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that was coming.
Yeah,
I honestly wouldn't.
This is Capcom we're talking about, though.
Yeah. Of course, it'll only be Onimusha 1, 2, and 3. They'll completely ignore Donna Dreams, even though it was the best in the series.
Right.
They're lining up to buy it. Everything is proceeding precisely as I have foreseen. Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational HD collection.
You think like Keiji Inafune is over in a corner somewhere like, "You have failed, Your Highness.
Did he make Onimusha?
Like my father before me.
Did he make Onimusha?
He might have, I'm not sure.
How did they calmly let him walk out the door?
I think they were sick of him running his mouth off in public about how the Japanese game industry was dead.
He's right!
Anyway, there you have it. I think it's time we wrapped up. It's been a fun night. We're glad to be back. We hope you guys enjoyed listening to us. Tune in next week. Leave some messages on our Facebook page. Just search for Blast Processing. You'll find us on Facebook.
Leave us some feedback. Let us know what you liked, what you didn't like. In the coming weeks, we're probably going to be adding a couple segments, testing things out.
We're probably not going to be drinking for every podcast.
Fuck that.
Another bleep. Damn it, John, you know I hate post-production.
You should just replace me.
Sarah, what are you doing next weekend?
I don't know.
Thanks again. Leave some feedback. Facebook, DVDverdict.com. Hit up the Jury Room forums. We've got our own little Blast Processing section over there. You can let us know what HD collection you want to see coming. Also, there might be a few little giveaways in the near future. So come on, guys, participate. You know, if you don't participate, you can't win.
Yeah, we're going to probably extend that offer on the 100 likes. Probably also extend that offer about the poll with me playing like My Little Pony games and
Barbie Horse Racing Adventure.
The more of those games we can get John to play, the better.
I'll play them while we're recording so you can listen to me weeping.
We're going to call it the demasculization of John Mercer.
I got plenty of chest hair for demasculizing.
We're also going to hire a male prostitute to pee on him while he's doing it.
Okay, Steve just went too far.
That part's getting edited out.
No, it's not.
Who's editing this thing?
Editing?
Are we recording? Whose house is this?
Be sure to tune in next week when I'm sure you'll hear one of us say,
"You are tearing me apart, Lisa!"
We are out of here.